Again, I'm very thankful to be here, and this is the third week we've met since we started back, and just thankful for each and every one that's come. We've had a number of visitors and different times and just people that are ready to worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, very thankful. We live in what you would call uncertain times. In my lifetime, I've never went through a period like this. As I stated a couple of weeks ago, the elevation of fear and panic in this country has risen to a level that I've not seen. I remember very distinctly when 9/11 happened. I was out on the farm, still farming in Olton, and it brought an eerie over my soul that I sat there and watched all day long. And there was some fear. There was some fear of what's going to happen to us next. But as I begin to study in God's Word, and this is not my subject, I'm going to kind of give a little overview of what I tried to preach on 2 weeks ago and what Brother Gale preached on last Sunday, and he was really blessed, I believe, in his preaching about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But I believe both messages speak highly and directly about Jesus Christ being the center part of our life. As I said, there's a lot of fear and a lot of panic in this country. Things are going on that you and I have never seen. This is not the first virus to come along. Been viruses kill far more people than this, but yet the elevation of panic and fear is real. We see it, and we see it on an increased basis every day. The Bible teaches us that we're not to fear what man shall do unto us. And I believe with all my heart, and I hope, and you may disagree, but I believe this fear has been brought forth by man. They've elevated it. They brought it to such an extent that it's brought a lot of fear even into the hearts of the Lord's people. But Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll always be there, that you may boldly say the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When we walk hand in hand with the Lord each and every day, when we understand that this life is about Jesus Christ, today my message is going to come from something I spoke about in 1 Kings chapter 17 about Elijah. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But everything in the Word of God is about Jesus Christ. That's our life, brothers and sisters. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, where would we be? Brother Gale said last week that Jesus Christ was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And yet he talked about friendship. He spoke of real friendship. He spoke of people who were taking their substance in this great time that we're living in and giving it to those who didn't have a job. That's what a real friend does. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. If God has blessed you with more and you know someone that is hurting or has great difficulty, the thing to do in a friendly way is to help them out if you're doing okay. And there are people doing that, and I thank God for that. But the message is we preached the last 2 weeks. We tried to encourage the Lord's people, and that's what I want to do today. I want to encourage you, as I did 2 weeks ago, not to be fearful of what's going on. Don't fear what man can do unto you. Even David said in the Psalms, and it's what happens to you and I all the days of our lives, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You walking in that valley every day. I know from my own experience, and others in this congregation know from their own experience, that you can wake up one day, and the next day someone you love might not be there, and it wasn't from this virus. It was from things that we take a risk of having every day that we live. When you walk outside the doors of your home, you're at risk, and even inside your home you're at risk. You could have a heart attack. People are dying by the thousands in cancer every day still. We don't hear a lot about that today, but those deaths have not ended. They have not. We're not to fear death. We're not to fear man. And my subject was taken from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, and I think it's very fitting. There is no fear in love. No fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. You and I don't love each other perfectly. We probably don't love our wives perfectly. But you know, there is one who has perfect love, and his name is Jesus Christ. It is perfect love that casteth out fear. And I want you to hear about fear. What does fear do? Because fear hath torment. Penal inflictions, what that means, are torture. People are being inflicted and tortured, but perfect love. Jesus Christ is the only one that can rid you of the fears that you have in this life, whatever they are. Whether it's this trial that we're going through now or You have cancer, or you lost a loved one who was killed in a car accident. We all know these are by some other way. We have these in our life. It's a risk we take to live. You know, there's more to living than existing. The Bible says, and we're taught in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that assembling ourselves together as God's people is one of the greatest blessings and greatest strengths that the church has ever known in this world. It's needful. You know, we got all this technology, and I sat for 4 weeks and listened to these sermons. I loved it. I was thankful for it. But there is nothing like coming together in the house of the Lord and praying that Jesus Christ would be there, and that would he be with us, and he'd visit us, and he would bless us. So it is my prayer today that he would bless us in our feeble attempts to worship him. Got a number of churches that haven't met in quite some time meeting today. The Borger Church is meeting. Brother Don and him have met 3 weeks. They're meeting for the first time in Levelland and in Midland also. Very thankful for that. And so I see it. Brother Daryl Chambers in Alabama is meeting again. So a lot of good is coming on. And Brother Ronnie and him, we're going to meet in Florida. I talked to him at length this morning, and he said he had kind of gotten a cold and he feared to go there. So they decided to wait another week. But thankful for you that are here, and may God richly bless you. May this message, in spite of me or where the Lord blessed me, be a blessing to you and encourage you. I encourage you to hold fast unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto him all time. He can rid you of any fear that you have in this life, and no one else can, because his love is perfect. In that sermon, I began to go back and look at what Jesus Christ gave up and what Brother Gale said. A greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, you're his friend. And he went to the full extent. If we understand what he done for us, we oughtn't have any fears in this life. We ought to understand there is no friendship greater. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I encourage you to keep that in your mind and in your thoughts, no matter what trial you may be going through, this one or another one. Or if we're at the end of our lives, whatever may bring you to that. David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David knew, just as you and I know, we're walking in that valley every day we live in this natural life, in the shadow of death, not knowing how it'll come. But we're all going to meet death if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come, but we're not to fear it. We're not to fear it, because Jesus Christ said, I'll be with you even unto the end. I will take you by the hand, and I will lead you to the promised land. Let's think about that. Let's be encouraged by that. Because Jesus Christ is our hope, not only in heaven, but today for whatever ails us. A couple of weeks ago, I made a few remarks out of the 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to talk about Elijah this morning. I made a remark about the current situation we're in and the things that's happening around the world. You know, there was a time that God sent judgment upon the entire earth, and all but 8 souls died. We know about Noah. We know there's been times that God sent that rain, and all the beasts except those that God sent upon the ark, and Noah and his 3 sons and their wives was the only living there was, and all other men and beasts perished. We know in the days of the Egyptians, when Lord's children had been taken captive and they were in hard bondage, that God sent plagues specifically on Egypt. Now, there are some people who are arguing whether God sent this COVID-19. I don't know. I have no idea. I won't even have an opinion. But I can tell you one thing, God is sovereign. He either caused it or he suffered it to be. There is just no other way it can be with a God who has omnipotent power. Omniscience has all knowledge, past, present, and future. That is the God that we serve. So I believe, regardless of whether the Lord sent it, I believe under every trial that we go through in life, there are lessons to be learned. Whether it's a collective trial as this nation and this world's undergoing, or it's a personal trial that you and I undergo in our lives, whether it be the loss of loved ones, or our relationships gone bad, or our children have defected from us, or whatever it may be. Maybe we've lost our financial means and we've lost our jobs, whatever it might be. Trials are sure and certain in this life, and I believe there's something to be learned from the trials that we go through. We're going to learn 3 things, I think, or 3 points that I hope encourages us. First of all, when we look at this chapter of 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to understand and learn what the power of prayer is. I believe that we need to be the most prayerful that we've ever been. for our nation, for our families, and especially for those who are in great panic and fear. There's a lot of them out there. I respect them, and I pray for them. I pray for them daily that God would remove that great fear that's dwelling within them, and that they would not have anxiety. But it is real, and a lot of people are under that. So prayer is a very powerful thing. We're going to talk about patience. The great blessing of patience or endurance. To endure, even in the hard times, in the difficult times. And I believe the last but not the least and one of the most important lessons we're going to try to look at today is how we need to depend upon God every day. Not just when these trials come or when we might see them coming on the horizon, not yet knowing when they may appear, but having a good idea they may come, we need to learn to be dependent upon God each and every day. So let's begin and read the first verse of 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite of Gilead said unto Ahab. Now, Ahab was the king, and in verse 30 it says, of the previous chapter, it says, and Ahab the son of Omar did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Now, that's important to understand because things in Israel were not going very well at this time. I'm not preaching a sermon to reflect Israel of old with God's children of today, even though there may be a lesson there. It's another sermon for another time. But we're going to get into why Elijah made this prayer and the effect of it. And he said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to mention it again. Most folks live in West Texas. A number of folks that's sitting in this congregation have farmed during their lives. I remember back in either 2010 or 11 being the driest year that I can remember of the 62 years God has blessed me to be alive. And it was horrible. We got 5 inches of rain, but I want you to understand what happened here. There was not one drop of dew. Have you ever been out in a drought the year and at least went out and smelt the dew? Doesn't it smell so good, the moisture? It was not a drop of dew nor a drop of rain. I'm going to tell you what. I'll put money on it, and I'm not a betting person, but I would tell you right now, I'll bet you more that, or I say I'm not, I shouldn't have said that word. But I believe as many people, probably far more, died in the scenario that's going on here in 1 Kings 17 than we'll see die from this virus. This was very, very serious. Now, let's go over and look at it in the New Testament. Go to James chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 13, and then we'll get down to the gist of it. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with all oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now we see in those four verses that the emphasis here now by the Apostle James under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is on prayer. The prayer of faith shall hear the sick. But notice, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that's the first half of the 16th verse. But we get down to the last half of that 16th verse. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it mean to have an effectual fervent prayer? Well, it's effective for one thing. What does it mean? The word fervent means hot. But when you study this out, it's talking about a prayer that's wrought in your heart to God, in your heart and in your soul, not a prayer written in a book, not something that is vain repetition over and over and over. It's a prayer that's sincerely wrought in a man's heart. It says that it availeth much. It literally means it's a force. There's a power in that prayer. Well, we're going to get down to verse 17, and we're going to see the example given of this type of prayer. A prayer that many today in this world among Christians wouldn't want to hear prayed. They really wouldn't. You see, Elijah was a man subject to life's passions as we are. And that's the first thing we need to understand. This was no unordinary man. This was not somebody special. Now, God called him out from among men to be a prophet, just like he calls preachers or apostles. You know, we're not all on the same level, but this calling was from God, but he was just like you and I. He wasn't nothing special. He wasn't an angel. He was a prophet by God's calling, by God's doing. But he was subject to like passions as you and I are. And he prayed earnestly, sincerely. He prayed unto God with a fervent heart, a prayer that was wrought in his heart and soul, a prayer of force. He says, and that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Think about that. Many of us farm here, and we're irrigated farmers. That's going away too, but most of our lives, that's what we've done. We'll address that in a minute. Some of them say, well, they might have done some irrigation over there. I'm sure they didn't irrigate in those days like we did. I want you to imagine how difficult this situation was. Let's notice what Jesus Christ himself says about it in Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. It begins, he says, but I tell you of a truth. This is Jesus telling us of a truth. It ought to be important to us. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. In the New Testament, Elias is the word used for Elijah, same person. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Now, it said it didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years, but I'll assure you that wasn't the entire earth like it was in Noah's flood. This was the part of the earth in which the children of Israel were dwelling on. How would you feel if your brothers and sisters was praying that the Lord would send something like this upon the United States of America? A lot of Christians would get upset with you, wouldn't they? They want life to go on as they've always known it. But I tell you, Elijah had a burning in his soul and a zeal for the Lord, and it was bothering him tremendously. You see, Ahab was the wickedest king that had ever been in Israel, and idolatry was unbelievable at that time. Let's notice what it says in Romans chapter 9 concerning the thoughts of Elijah. Verse 2, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot not ye not what the scripture saith about Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Here's a man of God who prays this fervent prayer, effectual prayer, that it was of great force, and when he prayed this prayer, he wasn't going to get out of this. This is what's amazing to me. He was going to suffer under this, what he asked for, just like the rest of the children of Israel were. You know, it'd been one thing if he prayed this prayer and thought, well, I'm going to go off over here in paradise and dwell a while because I'm doing the right thing. No, that ain't what happened. He suffered the same consequences in many ways that those Israelites suffered. He said, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. You know, we know that he wasn't alone because the scriptures tells us God told him, I reserved unto myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. But I want you to think just a minute through the eyes of Elijah in the times that he was going through. Idolatry, first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That means the desires of yourself or whatever it is in life that attracts your attention before God had gotten so bad that the Lord's people had forsaken him so much that this was the fervent prayer and the example given to us in the Word of God. Now, we can have an effectual fervent prayer and it not be an intercession against God's children today. That's not the point. It just is the example that God chose to use in the Word of God. God answered his prayer. He brought judgment upon the land. And as Jesus himself said, the famine was very, very sore. There's no telling how many people died from starvation. An innumerable amount, I'm sure. And we know that it was very sore. Think about a 3.5 year drought. If you was a farmer or you was trying to raise food and there was not a drop of dew nor a drop of rain. Matter of fact, we're going to find out that the river that God sent Elijah to, it dried up, or the brook. You know, I thought a lot about that, and I thought about the mountains. We love to go to the mountains. We go to Colorado, and when they get a lot of snow, the snow begins to melt, and that old porous rock lets that water go down into the ground. into kind of like an aquifer we have here around Lubbock, the Ogallala. But it's in the mountains, and as spring comes and thaw, that water comes out of those springs, and it's from the snowpack and the rain. But you know, if it didn't snow in Colorado for 3.5 years, do you know those rivers would dry up? They would dry plumb up. They're replenished every year by the rain, just like the Edwards Aquifer down around San Antonio. If it doesn't rain and those rivers not running, there's some rivers running right into the aquifer and end. That's where they end. It's the fastest refilling or recharging aquifer in the world. But my whole point is, look where you would be in life if it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I mean, it's terrible when it doesn't rain for 6 months. I just want to get a picture of what this land was like and how bad it was when Elijah prayed this fervent prayer that made intercession against his own brothers and sisters because they had forsaken the Lord in such a manner and had taken on idolatry. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping any and everything. They had forsaken the Lord. God granted his prayer. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. You know, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But in the eyes of Elijah, there was nobody left but him. That's how serious the situation had got. And I'm not here to preach a sermon to compare the United States of America to that. But, you know, we do know that Christianity has tremendously diminished through my lifetime. And so it's a real problem that's happened before. Could happen again. But think about the power of that prayer. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. In verse 18 it says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. The heaven gave rain. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's a lot of power in our prayers. You know, God hears our prayer. You know, we were told that Jesus wouldn't leave us, that we might boldly say the Lord is our helper. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy, and that we might find grace to help in time of need. Friends, we ought to be boldly approaching the throne of grace today for the situation and circumstances that we're living in. Not knowing what might lie ahead, we ought to be on our knees every day, and we ought to be bringing our prayers unto the Lord from our hearts, not from something that we say every day. You know, it's real easy to get into those repetitions of saying the same prayer all the time, but I believe at this time Elijah poured out his heart and soul unto the Lord because of what the Lord's people had done in the way of forsaking him. So prayer is a very powerful thing, and I want to go back to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings and begin to look at more of that. We know that this drought was serious, and we know that it was sore in the land. But we want to notice something here. God answered Elijah's prayer, but Elijah continued to endure. He continued to be patient. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. He directed him to go to a place. Even though his prayers was answered, one of the things we need to learn in this lesson, I think, is no matter what our times are like, no matter what circumstances we're facing, we need to endure. We need to continue on. We need to keep the faith. We need not let our profession of faith waver. Let us hold fast our profession of faith, or the profession of faith, and not waver. For he that promised is faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast to that faith. It's easy to give in, and it's easy not to endure. You know, we've heard of the patience of Job, and we'll look at that in a second. He said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and go by the brook, hide thyself by the brook. Sure, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. There's a couple things we'll see out of this verse as we go along. First of all, we see that He endured to do what God told him to do, regardless of what the situation or circumstances was. Notice what it says back over in the fifth chapter as we go back to James in the fifth chapter and look at some things that James said concerning this. First, in verse 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." That means endure. Endure until the day of the Lord. Endure your lifetimes. He says, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." You know, as a farmer, we all understand that. You know, we need rain. And especially if you're a dry land farmer, you wait. You're patient. You endure. You keep on. You don't throw in the towel. You pray and hope that God will send that former and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your heart. Be established in the truth of God's word. As we talked about, understand that Jesus Christ is your friend. He's what you need every day of your life. Is establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another. You know, I've noticed it. We've seen some of these things taking place in the times we live. People begin to grudge one against the other, and things have changed out in the world. If you get out there much, some people don't treat you like they once did. You know, I don't know what's going on, but we're not to do that. Brethren, lest you be condemned, behold, the judge standeth at the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience and of endurance. You see, Elijah prayed this prayer, effectual, fervent prayer, the example that we have in the Word of God, but he didn't avoid the suffering that took place in this great drought that he prayed for. But he did depend upon the Lord. He did endure. He continued to listen to the Lord. He continued to go on. He had great patience in doing that. He says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." We're told in the first chapter of James, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations," when you're tried. No matter what's trying our faith in life, count it a joy. It says here, brethren, you know, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." They count them happy. You know, they might not be erupting with smiles. Most Christians today can't imagine why anyone would ever pray against their own people the way that Elijah did. But this is just how far removed from God they was, and it was what was on his heart, and God answered his prayer. And it's the example we have of the power of prayer in our lives. We have the example of him enduring. Can you imagine? For most history we read, it was likely that Elijah sat down by that brook for up to nearly a year, being fed by those ravens and drinking from that brook. We know the drought was severe because the brook dried up. We know that it was intense. It was a very great time of trial in that day. You know, we talk about trials that we're going through. We really haven't faced the trials that many of God's people have faced in the past. You got to do is read God's word to understand that. We have our trials. We have our difficulties. But don't think they're new to the world in this age and in this time. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. It goes on in verse 7. It says, "It came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." As I said, that's what happens when rain stops. So you can imagine, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, that the famine was very sore. It was a very difficult time. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," again, he gets his direction from God. He continues to endure. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So again, the Lord is sustaining him. That's what we hope for in life, regardless of what we're doing, is God sustains us. You know, there may come a time that you and I don't live the life exactly the way we live it today. But I'll tell you one thing, God said he wouldn't leave you, he wouldn't forsake you, and you won't go hungry. Do you believe that? That's what he said. We may not have the fancy cars, the fancy homes. We may not have all the entertainment. I don't know what we might or might not have. But the one thing I do know, look, God said he'd take care of your needs. Your clothes, your food, and something to drink, roof over your house. And that's the things that we need to understand, that God said that we can stand upon those promises. God promised them. He's faithful who promised. It says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a curse, and behold, I gather two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. You don't think this drought was serious? You know, maybe this lady's, it doesn't tell us this information, but I got a feeling maybe the barrel was full at one time. The cruise was full of oil, the barrel's full of meal. Maybe she apportioned it out as long as she could. They had something to eat. But you know, the famine was so sore in the land that finally ran out. You know, there comes a time in our lives that maybe our pantries are full of food. We think, well, we'll weather this storm. You know, I'll go over here and I'll go to Costco or I'll go wherever and I'll buy up everything I can get and I'll store it in my freezers and in my pantries and in my closets. You know, hoarding it. That's not dependent upon the Lord, is it? That's not dependent upon God. We're going to find out that God sustains Elijah and he sustains this woman and her son. But I don't believe for a minute that he filled the barrel plumb full or the cruse plumb full of oil. You know why that is? Because the lesson to you and I is we're to depend upon God every day of our lives for what sustains us. How often is it when we have everything that we need, it's very easy not to turn unto the Lord and pray, give me this day my daily bread. Have you ever thought about the model prayer? Why did Jesus say, give unto me this day my daily bread? Because Jesus wanted you to depend upon him for what sustains you every day, not just when the barrel went dry or the cruise went dry. You know, it's unfortunate, but the bigger the trial and more tragic our situation may be in life, the more we're drawn unto the Lord in the way of prayer. But I believe we ought to pray in the good times just as much as we pray in the difficult times. And I need to work on that more than any of you do. I promise you I do. You know, I know from my own experiences how my heart can pour out at times in my life under the situations that occurred to me in a different manner than they maybe have when things are rolling along pretty smooth. We've heard about the sailing being smooth and the need for the Lord. Sometimes it's just really that way, and it's unfortunate for all of us, for myself. Our need for God is always changed depending on how severe a situation we may find ourselves in life. But I believe that Jesus Christ makes intercession for us every time we pray. And I believe that when we pray from the heart and we don't use vain repetitions as we're told in the model prayer, that the Lord hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. That we don't pray amiss upon the lust of the desires of the things we want in this life. You know, can you imagine? There wasn't anything that Elijah was going to get out of this prayer, was he? He got into sustained. His life was sustained, but he didn't get any rewards. He didn't get any pats on the back from the Lord. What he got was to suffer alongside the Lord's people, his brothers and sisters in Christ. But God sustained him. For likely a year, he sustained him by having these birds called ravens bring him flesh and meat, bread. I can't imagine what that was like, but thus saith the Lord. You know, if you were hungry enough, I'm sure you'd be thankful the Lord sent that to you, even if it was brought to you by a bird. You know, all I've ever seen birds carrying were worms. But, you know, these birds carried more than worms. They carried flesh, and they carried bread, and they said God sustained him. And when things got worse, we got to understand this famine and this drought didn't begin and be at its peak the day it began. It got worse. This situation we're in today may get worse. Or the underlying consequences of it may bring something worse. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But I know one thing. God said he would sustain you. He goes on and says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. That's probably the greatest blessing that we find today. All these are important. The power of prayer, being able to endure when so many people are falling by the wayside, or when it's so easy not to do what the Lord would have us to do, but to depend upon God every day. You know, I fail in the fact of thanking God every day for my daily provisions as I should. Because whether the pantry's full, the refrigerator, the freezer's full, I have what I have because God blessed me to have it. But when we run out like this woman did, I'll tell you, and you don't know if you're going to eat tomorrow, and that's what she was at the end of her way. This is how sore this famine was. Elijah knew, because God had already sustained him by feeding him with this raven and by sending him to a brook where there was water to drink. Then the famine got worse. The trial got worse. And again, he sent this man to a place that he'd be sustained. How about us? God will sustain us. It doesn't matter what happens. Let's go read a few verses from Matthew. I believe it's Matthew chapter 6. And then we're going to close this morning. Matthew chapter 6, I believe, speaks this very thing, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Take no thought of that. You know, I believe that one of the lessons in there, we're not to hoard, because we know God will give us what we need the next day. I mean, you know, if we're doing that, we're not dependent upon God to supply us. Here it says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body the raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Think about what Jesus just said there. You know, there's not a bird on this planet that sows a crop. Farmers sow the crop. There's not a bird on this planet that builds a barn and stores bird seed in there, or whatever he's eating. Most time it's seed. Not a bird. And yet, these birds live on and on and on, don't they? They find something to eat. We drop it out of the trucks as we go to the elevator, wherever it may find. It's left on the ground. There's always corn and grain left on the ground when you harvest it with the combine. The Lord knew what he was doing, and he provides for them, and they don't sow it, they don't reap it, and they don't store it up. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? We can't. We can't add anything to our stature. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Talking about being clothed. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, into the blazing heat of the sun, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? How faithful are we that God will take care of us? We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, before we put on the whole armor of God, that's exactly what it says. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can't be strong in ourselves. We can't be strong in the government. But we can be strong in the one who has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's promised he will always be with you through thick and through thin, through any problem you face, even unto death itself. Wherefore, if God so clothed, and we read that, O ye of little faith. Therefore, in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewith shall ye be clothed. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. I tell you, that verse right there is one that means your life to shine in a dark place. I don't believe that our lights can shine if we stay sheltered in the rest of our days. Furthermore, I believe that God will take care of you. I do. I'm like Elder Philip Conley said, and I believe this, and Brother Gale told me this. He said, if I get the virus, and a wonderful preacher, he said, I'll either get over it or I'll go home to be with the Lord. And I tell you, that's a great comfort, is it not? It's not that I want to depart this world now, but if I do, I'll never want to come back, and neither will you. That's how we live this life, and we don't fear from day to day the things that are that way. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's endurance. Even in the midst of whatever trial you're in life, whether it be this today that's going across this world in the United States, or it's a personal trial or family trial or whatever it might be, endure. Seeking the kingdom of God. Keeping that in your heart and your soul and your mind, knowing that our God is bigger than any virus. Our God is bigger than any problem you have. He rules and reigns upon his throne in glory, and there is none that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Friends, this is the Lord that we serve. Think about it every day when you get up and when you're praying, give unto me this day my daily bread, the things that will sustain me. Help me, Lord, to rid myself of fear and walk close with me hand in hand. Notice it says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. You know, we're all guilty of that, I think. I know I have been worrying about 6 months from now and a year from now and what's going to happen and what's going to happen at the end of this virus or any other trial I've been through. But the Lord says, you got enough difficulties and enough problems today. Don't go beyond today. And God said, I will give you what you stand in need of today. That's exactly what he did with that widow woman and her son. And Elijah, they were sustained by God Almighty, not by their own doing, not by their own strength, not by the arm of the flesh. That lesson of depending upon God every day is one that is very encouraging to me and ought to be an encouragement to all of us. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Which literally means the troubles and the problems of today are enough to deal with. Let us not be caught up in what might happen in 6 months, in 7 months. I think that's where it comes in. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know what tomorrow holds or 6 months. I don't know if in 2 years this country will be the same country. But you know, I know one thing today. We were able to get up. We're able to see the sunrise. We still have our liberty and freedom. We're still here in the house of the Lord. We're still been blessed to have food to eat and water to drink. What a day the Lord is. What a day it is. There couldn't be a better day. I know we're all guilty, and I know I'm especially guilty of worrying what's going to happen down the road. But I think if we'll just focus on this day, every day, we'll all be better off. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to pray more and understand there is power in your prayer and to endure regardless of what we may face, and to wake up every morning depending upon the Lord to get you through that day in whatever it takes to sustain you. May God bless us to do that. May God bless us to be gathered together again next week to worship him in spirit and in truth. And again, I thank you for your attention. If there be one that needs a home in the church, desires one, you can come forward and the church will assist you this time. We have been foregoing the handshake, and we're going to go ahead and do it this today. Maybe next Sunday we're going to get back to the regular things. We're going to stand and sing as our last song, and I'll lead at number 187. But just remember, Jesus is your friend. Jesus is your sustainer. Jesus is that perfect blood that rids you of any fear that this world could bring to you in, of any kind. So in what I say, it is about Jesus. And this song we're going to sing is more about Jesus. Let's sing this song. And then I'll ask Brother Dylan to offer a prayer to close the services. And then I want to ask folks before we sing this song. Well, I'll ask you after we sing this song. We'll have an announcement or two. But let's stand and sing number 187.